Everybody knows. Oh, I know the facts, but I'd love to feel what the blind man felt when his eyes were healed. He went running through the streets to share.
I wish I could have been there when the thousands were fed with just two fish and some bread to see the little boy packing up the rest. I wish I could have been there to see the lame that could lead, hear the dumb that could speak,
and see the multitudes of people Jesus blessed.
I wish I could have seen the stone that went a-rolling away when they looked inside the door to where the grave clothes lay. I didn't see, but I believe that he ascended in the air, and I really wish I could have been there.
He commanded Lazarus to walk right out of his grave, and then a Galilean storm he started coming the waves. I wanna feel that breeze blowing on my face. I wanna know the smell. I wanna taste the taste. Just a reading that it couldn't compare.
I wish I could have been there when the thousands were fed with just two fish and some bread to see the little boy packing up the rest. I wish I could have been there to see the lame that could lead, hear the dumb that could speak,
and see the multitudes of people Jesus blessed.
I wish I could have seen the stone that went a-rolling away when they looked inside the door to where the grave clothes lay. I didn't see, but I believe that he ascended in the air, and I really wish I could have been there.
I wish I could have
been there when the thousands were fed with just two fish and some bread to see the little boy packing up the rest. I wish I could have been there to see the lame that could lead, hear the dumb that could speak,
and see the multitudes of people Jesus blessed.
Used to be something Terry would speak about sometimes. He would mention that when the Lord comes, he'll find you where he's called you to be. And if you're not where he called you to be, he won't find you. You remember that? I believe that when Jesus comes, he will come for you where you're supposed to be. Thank you, Sister Yvette. Hallelujah for singing that for me. I am preaching this morning on I'll be listening when he calls my name. How many would repeat those words with me? I'll be listening when he calls my name. Come on, say them out loud for me, would you? I'll be listening when he calls my name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you this morning on this Resurrection Sunday. It's good to see every one of you in this house. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Turn with me in your Bible to the book of Revelation. Chapter 4, Revelation chapter 4, and verse 1, we'll start reading, Revelation 4, and I'm preaching on that very thought. Yesterday at the close of the radio broadcast, a lady called. I don't know her name. I know she's called before, and when she called, she started singing that. Was the last words on the broadcast is her singing, I'll be listening when you call my name. Hallelujah. And I will be. I will be. I'm telling you, that got a hold of me early this week, and I'd feel it way down inside. The book of Revelation 4:1. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice I heard was as it were of a trumpet. Was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately he said, I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. There was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their head crowns of gold. Now those four verses makes the context of my sermon this morning. Notice that the Bible said John heard the voice which said, "Come up hither." And then the Bible says John was in the Spirit. Now you think about it. Those are parts and lot of the time of the coming of the Lord. He will call for us. And the only thing that will resurrect us will be the Spirit. There's no spirits, there's no resurrection in you of your own part or of your flesh. Your resurrection will be the life of the Holy Spirit that flows and thrills and is master of your life. I preached this morning on this thought because I believe how important indeed it is for us to know the voice of the Lord. To know the voice of the Lord. Remember 2 weeks ago, I preached on that thought. Jesus said it, "My sheep know my voice." My sheep know my voice. And I'm here to tell you, when that trumpet sounds and he calls for you, it's going to be important that you know his voice. It's going to be important that you know his voice. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Stretch your hand this way and ask God to help me preach this morning. I will give it all I got. That's all I know. Because I want you to be ready the moment that trumpet sounds. I don't want you to have any hesitation. And I promise you, when he calls, you will get a special call if you are ready to go. If you're prepared, if you know his voice, you will get a call to come up hither, and it will be by the Spirit then that you will rise to meet him in the air. Let that day be soon, Lord. Let that day be soon. I don't know what's going to happen next in this crazy world, but I know it's not a pretty sight. Now, every saint ready. Every saint of God ready. Every saint of God that has oil in their vessel. The Holy Ghost is moving in their life. They're living under the influence of God's divine person, God's divine spirit. Every person who is on fire for him, not hot nor cold, not lukewarm, I promise you, not lukewarm, but on fire for him, when he comes, you will hear the call. Hallelujah. Make sure you are where you belong. Make sure you're not in some place you have no business being. Make sure you're not in some worldly place where the world is the master. But make sure you are living in such a manner that when he calls, you can hear his voice. What a day that's going to be. Now, to add to that text, would you go with me to Romans chapter 8? I want to read another great verse that makes this a very important subject this morning. Romans 8 and 11. Listen to this very carefully. For it really is part of that verse in Revelation 4. Really part of that same verse, Romans 8 and 11. But if the Spirit, that's the Holy Ghost, of him that raised up Jesus from the dead. Now you got to understand, Christ was in that tomb. He'd been crucified. His body had been literally bruised and beaten beyond recognition. It was a horrible sight if you could have looked upon him in that state of having been both beaten and crucified. And in that tomb he lay on resurrection morning. And the Bible said, but if the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would somebody say hallelujah? Would somebody say praise the Lord? if the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal body. Your mortal body, it will be mortal until the moment of your resurrection or your rapture. Laying in that grave, if you may go by way of the grave, or standing here in this church, if this is where you are when he comes, it will be a mortal body. And the Spirit of the Lord that raised up Jesus from the dead will reach and take hold of you and lift you up and quicken your mortal body, hallelujah, by the same Spirit that resurrected the Son of God. Do you see the connection this morning? You've got to connect this life of knowing the voice of the Lord, this life of being full and living in the power of the Spirit, this life of obedience and surrender to him to the moment of the call, when he calls for you, when the great Spirit of God reaches, wherever there's a vessel that he has right away, wherever there's a vessel that the Holy Spirit rules in, that same Spirit will quicken that mortal body and raise it up to meet the Lord in the air. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the resurrection. But I'm also talking about the rapture and the resurrection of the saints of God. You really can't preach one without the other. How many understand that? You can't preach his resurrection without preaching about our resurrection. Oh, yes. He wasn't just raised for himself. He was resurrected for you and I. What did he say on the morning of his resurrection? He said, because I live, ye shall live also. Because I live, ye shall live also. He wasn't just talking of an earth life. He wasn't just talking of a physical life. He was talking of a resurrection life. Because I live, ye shall live also. Now I want to spend a moment. Do you understand what happened to Jesus on that cross? I had a call yesterday that was an unusual one. Never even thought of the subject before. And this dear gentleman, I believe it was a black gentleman, very kind, nice guy. And he says to me, Brother Chambers, do you have any scripture to prove that Jesus felt pain when he was being crucified? Did he have any pain from those nails in his hands? Did he have any pain from those nails in his feet? Well, I said, sir, I've never had to think about that, because Jesus was natural in his physical body. He was also spiritual as the Son of God. But everything he experienced in that natural body was just as real to him as yours is to you. The Son of God felt excruciating pain. His body was beat unto a bloody pulp. His body, the Bible says this, not Brother Chambers, the Bible says that nobody has ever been bruised and beaten like he was. Let me read it to you. And many were astonished at thee. His visage, that's his body, his appearance, was marred more than any man. And his form, more than the sons of man. I want to tell you this morning that Jesus Christ was beaten in that hall of Pilate until his flesh was hanging off like rags. The very word used of his crucifixion meant to skin someone, to take off the skin of their body, to skin them. He was ripped apart and ripped in so many ways, and his flesh was hanging off of him like rags. He would have died if he had been a normal mortal man. He was normal, but remember, he was also the Son of God, and he couldn't die until he willed to die. All of their beatings couldn't kill him until it was his choice to die. And so he suffered suffered excruciating pain. He was crucified, and they did everything they could, and it was the crucifixion that finally he accepted and died. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? The blood drained from his body. He was absolutely a horrible sight. But he felt it. He endured it. It was for me, and it was for you. Every pain was a pain of love. Every scar was a scar of compassion. Every feeling was a feeling of concern for my and your eternal salvation. And put in that tomb, I can assure you, there was no life there when they laid him in that tomb, because he had willed to die. He had willed to become the sacrifice. He took our sin upon him. But when the moment of that resurrection came, hallelujah, that frayed and bruised and beaten body was suddenly glorified. Hallelujah, and became the first fruits of the eternal resurrection. Hallelujah. He didn't just revive to die again. He revived to never die again. Somebody raise a hand and praise him. What a Savior. What a Savior. What a Savior. Resurrected for our glory. Resurrected for our eternal salvation. You got to understand that. You got to understand that he really died, friend. He really felt those pains. I must confess, I don't understand all of this. I don't understand how that when he was resurrected, you could still see the scars. He showed them to Thomas. He said, thrust your fingers in here and touch these scars and see, I'm who you think I am. I'm truly the Son of God. And then he said to Thomas, you believe because you see, but blessed are they who have not seen, but they yet believe. I've never seen that crucified body. I've never seen those nail prints. I've never seen where those whips tore his back apart and stripped his body. I've never seen the scars around his brow. I've never seen all of that, but I know something. He's alive, and he's alive forevermore, and I believe he's alive this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Now, notice again in Revelation 4 that the Bible said after the Lord spoke to John to come up hither, the Bible said then he was in the Spirit. He was in the Spirit. He didn't go up in his own flesh. He went up by the power of the Holy Ghost. He went up into the presence of heaven to see the visions and the great things that the Lord would show him by the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, he had to come back because that was a temporary moving of the Spirit upon him. But when we're resurrected, it won't be temporary. It'll be eternal. Hallelujah. And we'll have a new body forever. Now, I want to show you some things in this Bible that's very important. Four things about what the Spirit of God does in us. Number one, you cannot be converted without the conviction of the Holy Ghost. The reason our church is so full, our churches, not just ours, don't speak of you so much, but the reason churches as a whole are so full of religious people that have no semblance of salvation, that show no devotion to the cause of the kingdom, that have no devotion to the work of the church, that have no devotion to tithing, no devotion to missions, no devotion to winning the lost, no devotion to living with the cross of Christ about their life. It's because they've never been convicted by the Holy Ghost, and consequently, they've never been born again. You cannot be born again unless you are convicted of your sins by the Holy Ghost. Are you listening to me? How many agree with this? Let me see your hand. You understand this, that you've got to be convicted. You don't just say, hey, I'm going to go to God. I think it's time I start living right. And some people do that. And that's a good remove. That's a good action. That's good conduct if they'll follow through. But once they come, they've got to be convicted. They got to have the conviction of the Holy Ghost upon their heart that they are sinners. And then they've got to repent of that sinning and that careless living and that false life. And they've got to come to Christ in surrender and devotion. Go with me to the book of John 16. Let me make sure you understand this. One of the great truths of the Bible. I'll read it to you from John 16. He says, "Nevertheless, I'll tell you the truth, and it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. And if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove," and that word means convict, "he will reprove the world of sin." He will convict the world of sin. He will convict the world of sin. Until he convicts you of sin, it's impossible to be born again. He's got to do it. You are converted by the power of the Holy Ghost. And the power of the Holy Ghost begins by showing you yourself. By showing you how you look in the sight of God. How God looks upon you. How God sees you. So the Spirit of the Father came. The Spirit of Jesus and of the Father came that he might convict men of sin. That he might convict men of sin. It doesn't stop with just sin. He says in a righteousness. You know the reason that a person gets saved and immediately they want to live right? And they want to become devoted to everything the Bible is devoted to. And they take hold of the scripture and it becomes their lifestyle. It's because the Lord convicts them not only of sin, but of righteousness. He'll get a hold of you about living right. He'll get a hold of you about living clean. He'll convict you of things that you've never read in a Bible. Because the Holy Spirit comes to convict you of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. There's a fear of the coming judgment that takes hold of a real Christian, a converted Christian who's really been convicted and been converted and they've been made a new creature, and they don't only see their sin, they see his righteousness and they see what's down the road and they are ready to live right. I'll tell you something. If you're not ready to live right, you need to go and say, "Now, Lord, you convict me. You get me where I can live right. You get me where it gets a hold of my heart." Oh, I've seen many people come to the altar and never change. Never change. Never really act different. Maybe act different a little while, but it doesn't stick. It doesn't take a hold of them. It doesn't get down into the core of their life. I'm talking about what the Holy Spirit wants to do is convict you and convert you and teach you righteousness and teach you the judgment to come and get you ready to serve him. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. So that when he comes in the clouds to get his saints, you will have met him and you will know him and you will belong to him and you will hear his voice. Woo, hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah with me. Oh, praise the Lord. So he convicts of sin. He really does. He convicts of sin. You begin to get convicted by the Holy Ghost and you look at yourself and you think about how God's looking at you and you feel so sad about yourself. I'll never forget the night he convicted me. How many remember the night you got convicted? You knew you were a sinner. You knew you were lost. You said, "I don't remember ever experiencing this. It may mean you're not saved. I don't know." The church is full of people who've never been born again. They're going to lose their soul if we don't help them find this conviction that comes by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost convicts you. You see yourself like God sees you. When the Holy Ghost convicts you, you see righteousness that looks just like that Bible. When the Holy Ghost convicts you, you can tell what's coming and you can look around your world and you can say, "I don't want none of that. I'm headed in a brand new direction. I've got a new master. I've got a new savior. I've got a new Lord, and I'm serving him." Somebody raise your hand and just love on him a minute. I thank God for convicting me. I thank God for converting me. I thank God for transforming me. I thank God he made a new creature out of this little brat that I was. I thank God for that. That's the beauty of being saved. That's the beauty of being saved. Now, he doesn't stop there. The Holy Spirit is a mighty agent of the Father and the Son. And the next thing he does, he begins to teach you holiness. Well, sir, I already preached a little bit of that right there when I spoke of convicting you of righteousness. But the Bible talks about this. I love John 17. That's always been a very delightful place for me. If you'd like to turn with me, John chapter 17, the words of the Lord Jesus when he was praying for the church. He was praying for the saints. He had a burden for us. And I want you to hear how he prayed and the wonderful things he said. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, this John 17, 9, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are dying. Listen to that. He said, I pray for them. I don't pray this for the world. I'm not praying this for the ungodly crowd, the alcoholics and the drunkards and the smokers and the worldly livers. I'm praying for my saints. I'm praying for my children. Those that belong to me. That's what he said. Listen carefully. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. See, the Holy Spirit for the Father brings you to conviction and converts you, and then you become the servant of Jesus Christ. You belong to the Lord. You belong to Jesus. You belong to the Savior. And so he convicts you and shows you that you're not to love this world. You're not to love the things of this world. You don't love doing the things the world's doing. Look at most of the world today on Resurrection Sunday, the day in which we celebrate the resurrection of the Son of God. And think of the multitudes that aren't even in the house of God. They don't care nothing about whether they're in the house of God or not. They're very careless. I don't understand that. I can tell you something is missing. Now, I don't mean this to cut down nobody or to criticize nobody. And I'm not trying to preach this to the choir because you're faithful. But I'm here to tell you, when you've been resurrected with him, you're in love with him, and living for him is a way of life. And if it's not a way of life, don't you tell me you're saved. I don't want to hear it because I don't believe it. I know what happens when you really become one of his. He begins to deal with you. He begins to speak to you. He begins to direct your life. He begins to teach you righteousness and holiness and beauty, so that when he comes in the clouds to get you, he's already got you dressed up right. You've got on the wedding garment. How many of you know what the wedding garment is? Do you know what the wedding garment is? It's nothing but righteousness in Christ. Just a very simple thing. It's him having clothed you with himself. It's him having put upon you the garment of righteousness. It's him having made you holy and gentle and loving and kind. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit, he first convicts you. He convicts you. But then he begins to work upon you and in you and sanctifies you. You read that John 17, he goes on to talk about that. He said, sanctify them through thy word, or thy truth. Thy word is truth. Oh, I love it when he takes me and begins to make me holy. Do you love him making you holy? Think about this. Think about the great Son of God taking you as his vessel, as one that he has converted, as one that he has saved, and begins to work with you and in you the wonderful work of Christ, the wonderful work of purity, the wonderful work of holiness. And he begins to strip you of those things that would hurt you, and begins to fill you with those things that will make you happy and make you victorious and give you joy. He begins to do things in you that turns your life upside down. He makes a new creature out of you. And the world don't particularly like that. They'll run from it. Now, I understand that. But I want to tell you, it's real. Oh, and it's wonderful. It'll do you more good than it does me to watch it. And I enjoy watching it. But it'll do you good. It'll make you a happy person. Oh, what a God. Now, let me move a little further. There's another thing the Holy Spirit does. And that he brings you into the fellowship of the Father and the Son, so that you begin to have a family fellowship with the Father and the Savior. Oh, Brother Chambers, now come on. I can't have fellowship with God. I'm not that good. I know you're not, and I'm not either. I'm not either, but I know what the Bible says. Go with me to the book of Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Let me read you something that's just plain out beautiful. Romans 5. Let me read it. And hope, this is hope, maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So the Holy Ghost convicts you and then converts you. Then after he converts you, he begins to sanctify you. And he does it with his grace. And all you got to do is be a willing vessel. All you got to do is spend time in the Bible and in prayer and in the house of God. And very beautifully and methodically, he'll begin to sanctify you. He'll begin to strip you of things that have no place in your life. People that have habits that they didn't immediately drop when they got saved. And most of them are going to go when you get saved. Sometimes there are little things that he has to clean you up from. He has to get them out of your life, and he will sanctify you. But once he gets you sanctified, he's holy, and now you are holy, and now he begins to bring the two holy vessels together with God the Father, and you begin to have fellowship with God. The Holy Ghost came to give you fellowship with God. Somebody say hallelujah. I'll read that verse again. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Woo, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Holy Ghost sheds abroad the love of God. The Holy Ghost sheds abroad the love of God in your heart. And you say, oh, I want to love God more. Well, then just yield yourself more to the Holy Ghost. I want to love him deeper, then yield yourself deeper to the Holy Ghost. I want to be so full of love that I can just praise him and love him and adore him and magnify him and exalt him and lift him up. Hallelujah. Well, yield yourself to the sweet Holy Ghost. Raise your hand and love him. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, bring us into this love and shed abroad the love of God in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Shed abroad the love of God in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Well, now you can see what he does, and it's wonderful to me. I love to study the wonderful things the Holy Ghost does in my life, in your life. I love to study them. He converts you. Can you imagine a sinner on his way to hell? I mean, no hope. He's lost. He's bound with sin, shackled by the darkness of the world. And the Holy Spirit of God sets upon him and begins to deal with him. Sometimes it's because mama and daddy's been praying. Sometimes it's because they went somewhere to church and heard the word of God. Sometimes it's just because God has been searching them out. I know how he came and searched me out down on the farm. There was no way I'd ever found God, but God found me. Hallelujah. That's the Holy Spirit's business, is to find the sinner and bring him to God. And can you imagine? That's a beautiful thing. An old ugly, bitter sinner, full of venom and darkness, determined to do his own thing, his own way. And the Holy Ghost of God begins to deal with him. And he begins to tremble under the presence of God. He begins to shake. I've seen people sit in church and hold on to the back of the pew because they came under conviction. If there's anything the church needs today, we need a movement of Holy Ghost conviction. I don't understand why it seems to be so distant from us. Everybody's fighting the same battle as we are, but I want to see the Holy Ghost move until sinners can't be comfortable in this place. Until a sinner or a backslider or somebody that's not obeying God, until they get uncomfortable sitting in here. You say, oh, Brother Chambers, you got to make a sinner comfortable. No, 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 you don't. You make the sinner uncomfortable. You make them uncomfortable. You don't do it to injure them. You don't do it to offend them. You don't do it to hurt them. You do it with nothing but love and compassion. You do it because that's what they got to have to come to Christ. You got to raise your hand with me a minute. I know what I'm preaching this morning. I think it's from the I know it's from the Holy Ghost, and I know it's what we need. I'm here to tell you, hallelujah, conviction of the Holy Ghost is a beautiful thing. And then to think about Him sanctifying you, and then to think about Him filling your heart full of love, those are beautiful things. But then last, and this is the heart of my sermon, He's coming. Jesus is coming. He steps out on those clouds up there in the heavens above. Old Gabriel or whatever angel he chooses is not named in the Bible. Old Gabriel or some angel blows that great trumpet. Then the Holy Ghost goes to work. Listen to me now. And He reaches right down across the population of this earth. And every person that's ready to meet Him, they will hear the call. I don't know how it's going to be, whether it'll be way in here or up here in the ears. I don't know how He's going to call you, but I guarantee you one thing, you're going to hear His call. Hallelujah. And I promise you, if you don't know His voice now, if you're living careless and you're not walking in obedience to Him, and He can't get a hold of you to get you back where you ought to be, then you're probably not listening to Him. And if He would come, you probably wouldn't hear Him. Are you listening to me? I say this with nothing but love, but I'm telling you, if you know Him, if you are acquainted with Him, if your heart is in full surrender to Him, if there's oil in the vessel, hallelujah, if you're not lukewarm but on fire for God, and hallelujah, that trumpet sounds and Gabriel blows that great trumpet and the Holy Spirit begins to brood, it'll be like an old mother hen brooding over her little baby chicks. Hallelujah. All over this world, that sweet Holy Ghost will be like a cloud, and He will cover every part of this globe. And everywhere there's an old saint of God, they will feel a calling, or they will hear a calling, or something will take place in them. And the Holy Spirit of God will reach in, hallelujah, and begin to quicken them. Hallelujah. And they'll be gone before they know it. Hallelujah. What a moment that's going to be. Are you listening? How many can say, I want to hear Him when He calls? Raise your hand way up high. Way up high. I want to hear Him. Come on. Way up high and wave it a little bit. I want to hear Him when He calls. I want to hear Him when He calls. I want to hear Him when He calls. You've got to run somewhere over here. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Would you just pray? God, get a hold of somebody. There's somebody in this building this morning. If He would call this morning, you would not hear Him. You would not hear Him. You're not listening to Him. You didn't hear Him last week. You didn't hear Him week before last. You didn't hear Him as you went about your life this week. You did your own thing. You wasn't paying Him no attention. The Bible has no place in your daily walk. You're not on fire for God. You're barely a little bit lukewarm. You're just kind of wandering around, not obeying. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord's calling you this morning to get ready to hear His voice. Oh, I cannot think of anything more wonderful than to be going about my daily duty. I just kind of imagine, if you don't mind me just using my imagination, going about my business, going about my work, and all of a sudden something happens, and I feel something taking place. My whole body begins to tremble. I begin to feel a sweetness of the Holy Ghost, and all of a sudden I hear that trumpet begin to sound. Hallelujah. And I say, this is it. Oh, this is it. I've been waiting for this. I've been longing for this for many years. I've always hungered to be part of that great rapture. And suddenly I'm feeling it. Suddenly it's taking place. Suddenly the Holy One of Israel is calling me. Hallelujah. And then I feel the Spirit of God as He takes a hold of this old mortal flesh, and it begins to transform. Hallelujah. Everything begins to quicken. That's what Paul said in Romans. He begins to quicken me. And before you know it, my feet are leaving the ground, and I'm up in the sky, and I'm ascending higher and higher, and I feel Him calling, and I look over there, and there's Brother Dylan, oh hallelujah, and there's Sister Doris, praise the Lord, and there's Sister Yvette, hallelujah, and Brother Derek, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let me tell you something, church, this is going to be wonderful. Somebody raise your hand and just wave it to the Lord. When he calls, I'm going to be listening. When he calls, I'm going to be listening. I say, when he calls, this man is going to be listening. Hallelujah. In fact, I'm already listening. I mean, just kind of stop. Open your ears. If he would call right now, would you hear him? I can tell you how you can tell. When you're in church and the Spirit of God's moving, do you feel anything? Can you sit in church when the Holy Ghost is moving and not feel a thing? Can you sit in church when somebody gives a message in tongues and it don't even faze you? Can you sit in church when the gospel preacher is preaching like I'm preaching right now and it doesn't disturb you, doesn't really cheer you, there's no really rejoicing? Or if that's true, it's very likely that you're not being tuned or have not been tuned or you've lost your tune. Hallelujah. You know, like an old radio, sometimes I'll cut the radio on and somebody's been messing with it and it's lost its tune. And then I gotta adjust it. I'm here this morning to adjust me a little bit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? And I want us to talk to God out of our heart. There's somebody in this building this morning. You haven't been listening. You're not ready for that great trumpet blast. You're not ready to hear that great marvelous voice. And I want to help you get ready this morning. I want to help you get ready. Hallelujah. Quit playing games. Quit being careless with your life. Quit being so busy in the things of this life that you don't have time for God. And quit having excuses. There's 1,000 excuses of why many people are not walking close to God. But I beg of you, get those excuses out of your mind and get ready. The King is coming. Father, in Jesus' name, somebody in this building is unprepared. I pray you'll deal with their hearts and bring them quickly to this altar, that they will step out from their seat without a moment hesitation and pile their way into this place of prayer and give themselves to you. Father, convict them of sin. Let them feel the conviction that they're not being obedient. Let them feel the conviction of their careless walk. Let them feel the conviction of their disobedience. Let them feel the conviction of their lack of prayer life, their lack of church life. Let them feel it, Lord. You got to convict them. I can't do that, Lord. Church, would you pray for somebody to be convicted this morning? Somebody to be convicted. Somebody to come under the call of the Holy God. You know, I'm here to tell you, we're so close to the rapture, it isn't even funny. You know that our city just passed a rule that all transvestites can go to the bathroom of their choice, men to women, women to men. But you know, our General Assembly passed a rule this week and completely vanished that decision. And now Charlotte is back to where it was before they made such a decision. But have you been listening to the news? There are businesses across America saying we're not going to do no more business with North Carolina until they rescind that decision to not allow the transvestites to use the bathroom of their choice. Now, can you imagine a business that is so dark and led by such dark human beings that they would literally suggest that North Carolina should be off the grid for them because of our decision to have a little more purity? Can you imagine that? That's the hell we've come to. That's the dark place we've come to. I pray that nobody will back down. I told everybody yesterday, any business that says you ought not to shop in North Carolina, you ought not to do business with them. They're a bank, you change banks. They're a doctor's office, you change doctors. If they're different insurance, you change insurance. I don't care what it is. Get out of that, because this world's going to hell in a hurry, and I'm not going with them. Let me see your hand if you're not going with them. Now, is there one person in this building who would step out of your seat and you would come hurriedly and say, I'm coming to get ready for the rapture. I'm coming to get ready for the rapture. Is there anybody? Is there one soul? You don't know the voice of the Lord. You've been careless in the way you've lived. You've been disobedient in your walk. You've just not done like you should, and you know it. You know there's something wrong. You know you're not in the in the right order. Why don't you step out and say, I'm coming to Christ. I'm coming to the Lord. I'm making my choice this morning to be sanctified and set apart and full of the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to walk with God. Anybody? All right, I'm going to wait a minute. I'll preach the truth to you. I've given you my heart. I know what the Holy Ghost gives, and I've given you what the Holy Ghost gave me. Hallelujah. You know that. I don't think there's one person in you could doubt it. Would you like to come? Would you?
Touch all the nail prints in his feet.